So we're in a series just called Tis the Season. This is our third part of that series. The first part of our Tis the Season series, we said it is Tis the Season to reconcile a relationship. And I think people are scratching their head. Why are we talking about forgiveness and reconciliation at Christmas time? Because they're coming. The in-laws, your brother, your sister, your Uncle Steve, they're on their way to Christmas dinner. And I hope I gave you some practical tools in managing some of those relationships and walking in the freedom that forgiveness brings. And last week, we said, "Tis the season." Who remembers it? To breathe?
Grieve.
You, very good. I'm glad. See, to review a little bit with you, because they say you'll only remember 4% of what I say, and that makes me very sad. But we said, "Tis the season to grieve," because Christmas is a time of a lot of family traditions, and somebody this year, there's going to be an empty chair at the Christmas table this year. And so we talked about grief, and if you missed that Sunday, and maybe Christmas reminds you of some struggle and some grief, I encourage you, all of our messages are archived online, newlifeforkokomo.org. Jump on there this week and listen to that message. I really hope that you would be encouraged by that today. I want to start off this morning by reading the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. It'll be on the screen. Luke chapter 2, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them." The shepherds had an immediate response to their encounter with the Christ, and that was they could not contain this good news of joy. They had to tell other people about it. So today I want to tell you, tis the season to be a light, to be a light. Deep in the narrow valley of Telemark, surrounded by steep mountains, at the foot of a mighty mountain lies in a little industrial town called Rjukan. Rjukan is the home of a thriving small community that manages without the sun for almost 6 months out of the year. The town lies at the bottom of a valley oriented east to west, with surrounding mountains immediately south of the town, rendering the city sun-free from September till March because of these mountains blocking it from sunlight. The founder of the town, Rjukan, Mr. Sam Ead, launched an idea in 1913 of a Scandinavian word I cannot pronounce, but it means sun mirror above Rjukan. He saw the importance of the sun in Rjukan, as well as sun in the wintertime. He also had a need to give his workers the opportunity for sunlight in the winter. And this idea is one of the few Sammy did not manage to follow through to completion. Instead, his successors built a gondola in 1928 to transport Rjukan citizens from the winter shade to the sunlight up in the mountain. The idea was taken up again in 2005 by Martin Anderson, an artist and a resident of the town. And in 2013, the mirror was officially opened, 100 years after the idea. These giant mirrors are installed high up on the mountaintops and have a computer-driven heliostat placed on top with these mirrors on top of these mountains that follow the sun's light and reflects the sun's light deep down into the valley to give sunlight to Ruikun's market square. The sun mirror is installed about 742 meters above sea level, about 450 meters above Ruikun's market square. Each mirror is 17 meters of in area, and together are about 51 square meters, but they cast a light of over 600 square meters down into the market square. Here you see those mirrors, but here you see, in the shadow of winter, the light cast from one of these mirrors at the top of the mountain, bringing sunlight into the dark valley of this small town. So they recognized the importance of sunlight in the small town, that it was vital for its citizens. And actually, the sun is very vital. I am prone to a little seasonal depression myself, because once this weather comes around, I can no longer find myself on the golf course. And I began to get sad inside. And so my wife, for many years, has told me, you need to take a vitamin D supplement. Anybody on vitamin D so far this season? Yeah, good, good, good. And so she is forcefully giving me vitamin D to make me happy. And so since I can't play golf, I take vitamin D. And so that is my replacement in this season. But the sun is a natural source of vitamin D. It helps improve your moods and your mental health. It also helps regulate your body's, the sunlight helps regulate your body's internal clock, which helps you sleep at night. How many of you have ever had to work a third shift, the night shift? I spent a few years on night shift years ago when I was in management, and I gotta tell you, not for me, man. Not for me. And the sunlight helps, that helps you sleep. The sunlight releases endorphins, and it helps reduce stress, which is why 1 week out of the year, I have to take my family and I have to just go to the beach. Somebody, come on. I need those endorphins, and I just feel the rays of sunlight. I can almost feel it right now as I imagine it, and the stress is melting off the shoulders. It helps with brain activity. Sunlight helps with so much more, and like this town deep in the valley of this mountain, they realized the need for sunlight, and they built things to reflect the light down. Here's how Jesus uses the illustration of light and the role that you and I play. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, check this out, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Now imagine the picture we just saw of the mirror reflecting the light of the sun. You cannot ignore the source of light up above for all to see. So neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus shows us the power of the light. And he is the light, and he says, but you are the light of the world, a city on a hill. to shine light for all to see and give glory to Father. The first thing I want you to know is that we are light in Christ. When I invited Jesus into my life, a light turned on inside of me. Because I was previously experiencing the darkness of this world. And Jesus, sometimes it's hard to explain what he does in your life. But what I love to hear is I love to hear from a new believer their experience. They don't have our sometimes Christianese language to articulate what they're experiencing. But I love when new believers, they can just say, Pastor Devin, I just feel like, a light turned on inside of me. And I'm like, yes, it's exactly what happened. In Christ, the light turns on, and we are the light of Christ. Our light comes from Christ. I'm not the source today. On Sundays when I come up here and I prepare to give you a 90-minute message, I'm just kidding. Some of you have thought, I shoot for 35, okay? Sometimes I miss. But I am not the source of light. But I want to be a reflection of the light of Christ. We, the church, each of you, our role and responsibility in being the light is to reflect the light of Jesus into our dark world so that they can see the light as well. Ephesians 5, this is what it says, verse 8. For you were once darkness. Come on. I was once in the darkness, but now you are light. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Listen. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them. How? Shine the light with goodness and righteousness and truth. Not judgment and wrath and anger. No, goodness, kindness, righteousness, and truth, and exposes the darkness. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but instead be filled with the Spirit, do not be foolish. I sensed it. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the light of Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Are you allowing the light of Christ to shine through you? Are you allowing Christ's light to shine through you? Our human tendency is to shrink back, maybe in fear or in just not feeling confident in who we are in Christ. We shrink back in fear. We try to fit into the world's norms. But Jesus warns us about hiding our light. The darkness may seem overwhelming, but take courage, because even the smallest light can make a difference. They say that you can see the end of a cigarette from a mile away in the darkness. I remember my granddad, he was a hunting man, and he was a woodsman. And so he would take me and my three brothers, all four of us, up to the Appalachian Mountains, where he was a part of a gun club. It's called New London Gun Club, and it was a cabin built way up in the Appalachian Mountains in central Pennsylvania. There was no electricity at the cabin. There was no running water. There was a sink with a spigot that you had to pump the water from a natural spring right outside. To use the restroom, you had to go to a literal old school outhouse in the back. And it was awful in the summertime. It would be so dark that we would lie up in that cabin at night and not see the hand in front of your face. That's how dark. And my granddad had a little flashlight to help light the way. And that little light, man, would illuminate the entire cabin. In the summertime, it would kind of be mosquito-y, and we would use these things called punk sticks. Kind of looks like an incense stick, but you hold it in your mouth and you light the end of it, and it just kind of like gives off a smoke to keep the bugs away. Of course, my brothers and I thought that was pretty cool. We thought we were smoking cigarettes. But the little light of that punk stick at night, it was amazing how I could see where all my brothers were on that mountaintop because of their punk sticks. So take courage, church. Even the smallest amount of light makes an enormous difference. Light is a powerful source. In the presence of light, darkness has no choice but to flee. But when we experience and go out into the dark world, we're the ones that get afraid to shine our light. What are we afraid of? The light submits darkness every single time. Every time. And so are you allowing Christ's light to shine through you? When I was in high school, I felt convicted by the Lord to be a better example to my friends. And many of my friends in high school used foul language quite often. And maybe students that are here today, you might have friends that use foul language as well at school. And the Lord began to convict me to help them with this problem. And so when somebody would be around me using foul language, I would just give them one of these. Hey. And they would remember, oh yeah, Devin's a Christian. And they would say, sorry, Dev. And I would look at them and say, don't say sorry to me. They'd be like, huh? It was just a fun way to be like, hey, like, oh, sorry, man. I know I try not to talk like that around you. Like, don't say sorry to me. And then over time, they begin to say, sorry. You see, but it even something that light to just take a stand for truth, right? Shine a little bit of light. My friends appreciated me for it. And it begins to build influence with those around us. So listen, church, shine your light. 'Tis the season to be a light. And the second thing I want you to know is our light, it shines for a purpose. It's not for nothing. And I would actually say that being a light to our dark world, it is our purpose. It is your purpose. The local church is God's plan for a local community. I'm not talking about this building and location. I'm talking about you as the church, as a follower of Christ. You know what God's plan is to reach those men and women at the Chrysler plant? His plan is the men and the women in the Chrysler plant that follow Christ. You know what God's plan is? To reach the young people in our high schools and middle schools? Those that follow Christ. That's his plan. It's you and me. And that might seem overwhelming because you might be thinking, man, I'm just not perfect. But even the smallest of light can light the room. Don't hide your light. It shines for a purpose. Philippians 2 says this. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault is a warped... children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then... watch this. You will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. I'm going to give you a challenge, okay? I feel like my role as your pastor is to try to challenge us in our thinking and in our application of the word. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Here's my challenge. When you go back to the workplace this week, or when you go back to your high school campuses, when you go back out into the marketplace, don't complain. Don't argue with your supervisor. Don't argue with the owner. Be a light. Paul says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. Then you will shine among. Do you want to shine at work? Humble yourself. Serve others. Shine your light. Don't be hard to get along with. Don't be hard to be told what to do. Humble yourself without grumbling or complaining, and you will shine. Being a light illuminates dark places. And how is the light going to shine bright in our community? Someone's got to turn the light on. That might mean you've got to uncover some things. Matthew 5:15 says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So here's the check today. How's the deed check? How's the good deeds check? How are you serving and loving and showing grace and mercy in the marketplace, in your neighborhood, in your families? 'Tis the season, church, to be a light. So let our light not draw attention to ourselves, but to point others to Christ. Number three, embrace your role as a light to the world. Embrace your role. Paul says it like this in Romans. We are now ambassadors of Christ. We are now representatives in this thing called the kingdom of God. And God's plan to get the whole gospel to the whole world is using ambassadors like you and me. You each have a role in this thing with the light of Christ. Embrace your role. Embrace your role. Imagine that we are the mirrors on the mountaintops, casting light down to dark crevices of our world where it is impossible to get the light without a reflection. Let's reflect the light of Christ. How do we do it? How can we be a better reflection of the light of Christ? Well, I would say live with integrity. Live with integrity. The greatest definition of integrity given to me, maybe you've heard it too, is integrity is doing the right thing even when nobody is looking. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Live with integrity. I would also say, love others constantly. Love others constantly. John 13 says, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you what? If you love one another. It's like one of the greatest ways that you can be found guilty as a follower of Christ is if you love one another. So, love others constantly. Also, embrace your role to be light to the world, not just live with integrity, not just love constantly, but speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, and that is Christ. Here's how I like to say it. Speaking the truth in love is a lot different than loving to speak the truth. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? Speaking the truth in love is way different than loving to speak the truth. Let me tell it to you plainly. Some of you like to use the truth to just be a jerk, okay? I just tell it how it is. You know me, you're getting the raw me. I just tell it how it is. Yeah, but you're kind of a jerk. That's not fun. Well, it's the truth. The Bible says speak the truth in love, my man. Like, speak it in love. There's different ways to say the same thing. You'd be surprised how many difficult conversations I have to have with people. And if you do it in love, not all the time, because it's up to them and how they receive it, but many times when I've had to give the truth to somebody, they'll thank me for it. They'll say, you know what? Thank you, not just for having this conversation and the boldness to do it, but thank you for the way you said it. Of course. Speak the truth in love. I used to be in management, and I inherited an employee that had a terrible attendance record. And our company had an attendance policy that everybody was supposed to follow, and there were certain markers where there would be certain levels of discipline. It was called, you know, like getting written up. We didn't call it getting written up. We called it coaching for improvement. But everybody else called it, I got wrote up. I'm like, no, it was, you got coached for improvement. I inherited an employee in a new location, and I was looking at the attendance report. I said, hey, what's with Heather from this department? Like, she's way beyond the bounds of, like, even working here anymore. And in the system, she has had received zero coachings. And everybody got nervous. They're like, and then the truth came out. People were afraid to deal with Heather. I said, when does she work? She comes in later today. It's like, okay. Send her to my office when she gets here. And they're like, I brought Heather in. I sat Heather down. I wrote Heather up. I coached her for improvement. She shook my hand and thanked me and went on her way. And whenever we do this, you have to have another manager with you when you do it as a witness and all that stuff. And when Heather left, this manager turned around, looked at me, jaw hit the floor. She says, I cannot believe that just happened. I was like, well, we kind of got to the bottom of it. She has a very sick kid at home. They don't know what's going on with them. And she is struggling at home so much. And I just listened to her. I showed her empathy. And here's the thing about giving the truth. And maybe if you need to give the truth to a child, you need to remember this concept. Even if it's giving the truth to an employee of yours, here's how you do it. You give it in equal parts, empathy and consequence. Equal parts. Too much empathy and they don't learn. Too much consequence and we crush them. But equal parts empathy and consequence, and they'll learn it, they'll grow from it, and maybe even find healing from it. So in our difficult conversations, in speaking the truth in love, remember, equal parts consequence and empathy. This will go a long way in your conversations. Speak the truth in love, whole lot different than loving to speak the truth. You know, we just came out of an election. There's a lot of people that love to speak the truth on the interwebs, right? Okay, next, embrace your role as the light of the world. Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in your faith. 1 Corinthians 15:58. In other words, the first word here is therefore. And what do we do when we see a therefore? We look to see what it's there for. Good. In other words, Paul has 57 previous verses. And in summary of all of those 57 previous verses, which are all about the implications of the risen Christ, verse 58, he says, okay, whew, 57 verses of the implications of the risen Lord. Therefore, because of all of that, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. In other words, 57 verses of the implications of the risen Christ. What we do matters, and it's not in vain. Standing firm in your workplace, for your family, for your marriage, for your children, for your neighborhood, it's not in vain. It's for a greater purpose beyond ourselves. Stand firm in your faith. If I haven't convinced you of the power of light yet, 1 John 1 says, this is the message we have heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, well, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again, but will have the light of life. So I have two calls of action for you today. Number one, do you claim to be a follower of Jesus and yet walk in darkness? If so, choose today to leave the sin that has entangled you and become a true follower again. Again, return to the light and shine your light. My second call is this, simply, maybe you have never made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never submitted your life to him. You've never chose to follow him yet. Listen, he is the light your soul needs. He's there. The healing light of Jesus will forgive your sin, heal your brokenness, give you joy and purpose, and defeat anxiety and depression. The light of Jesus is the light your soul needs. And listen, the promise was this, and you never have to walk in darkness again. Choose Jesus. Choose the light and live. And listen, if that's you this morning, I want you to know, you're sitting in a room full of people that aren't here to judge you, because we've been you. We were once in darkness and brought into his marvelous light. Absolutely, why would we judge you for a life of mistakes and failure? That's where we all came from, okay? We get it. We also understand the liberty and freedom that only comes through Christ. There's people in this room that have sought in every form and fashion you can imagine to find life and purpose, and they couldn't find it until they found the light of Jesus. And their life has been completely transformed. So listen, this morning I unashamedly hold up the light of the gospel to you. Because for me, here's the thing. When I found Jesus, it's like I won the lottery. It's like I hit a jackpot that changed everything in my life. It's like hitting a lottery that could pay off all your debt and secure you for eternity. But the problem is, it's even greater than that. What it did was it canceled not just my debt, but it canceled a debt of sin and shame and guilt, and secured me for eternity with him in heaven. It gets better than that. When I found Jesus, it just wasn't like finding a jackpot or a scratch-off ticket where I won millions and millions. But it was a ticket that is available to everybody for free. So listen, my role today and shining bright the light of the gospel is simply this. Imagine if you found out that you had a guy that would pay off your mortgage. No questions asked. And you would say, what's the caveat? What's the catch? Well, here's the catch. I'm going to pay off your entire mortgage. The only catch is you tell more people about me and I'll pay theirs off too. And that's it? That's it. What if that man pays off your mortgage and you told nobody? That would be like finding water in the desert and staying silent while people go thirsty. That's the reality of the gospel. When I say I hit a jackpot, and I want you to know that I know a guy. I know a guy that will cancel the debt of sin. I know a guy that will heal your soul. I know a guy that can relieve you of the darkness that seems to be following you in every way of your life. I know a guy, and he set me free, and he wants to cancel your debt as well. The debt of sin and guilt and shame. All it takes is this. It's really just surrender. It's just surrendering your life to him, inviting Jesus into your life, and following him. You may have a lot of questions. You may have a lot of things you don't understand yet, but this is what I know. In changing your life, the first step is always a step back towards God. The first step is always a step of confession and turning to him. Romans says this, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the mouth that we confess and the heart that we believe. That's all it takes. Would you stand with me this morning? We're soon going to sing one last song as we end this service this morning. But as you stand, I just want to give an opportunity for two things. One, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, that you find parts of your life still in darkness, today you need to come into the light. And that only happens by confession and repentance. Confession is saying, God, I've done screwed up. And repentance is you turn away from it when you leave here today. And I believe God will give you the help and the strength to do that. And the second is this, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't go another day. Let him cancel your debt of sin and guilt and shame and give you a life of greater purpose than what you've ever seen before. Your net worth is not self-worth. Find your worth and identity only in submitting your life to Christ. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're in this room this morning, you've never received Jesus or you want to come back to him, it starts with just saying a prayer. And your prayer can sound like mine or you can make it your own. It's up to you. Just need to sound like this. Father, I need Jesus. I need you in my life. I confess to you, I've done some terrible things. There's some areas in my life that are still stuck and entangled in dark things. And I just want to, right now, I'm turning away from it. I'm saying no. And there's going to be some people that might side-eye me. They might cut me out of their life because I'm just not going back to that anymore. I'm getting right with you today. And I believe that this moment is going to change everything. So I confess my great need for a Savior. And I want to follow you. Forgive me. Come into my life. Make me anew in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know if you prayed a prayer like that in your own words or using my words, that you, my friend, you just got a brand new life. You just got a brand new life. All of heaven's rejoicing. We're going to sing one last song together. And as we do, Father, I just thank you for the great gift of Jesus. In this Christmas season, we celebrate that you came and lived the perfect life I never could, and you died the death that only I deserved. Thank you, Jesus.